One of my great joys is listening to people tell their story. And as a priest, I get the opportunity to hear a lot of these stories. Maybe they're conversion stories, when a person had hit a hard time. And it was then that the Lord was able to touch them with a particular grace. I love hearing those kinds of stories. Or even just stories of their life. When I'm in a home, I often ask a married couple, how did you meet? And they just light up. They love to tell that story. They love to renew those moments, and it actually makes the love or the conversion or the grace real again. And it renews it in my life too. Whenever a person tells someone else a story, it invites them in to that moment that I can actually participate in that love in some way or participate in that grace that the person received. Even in the community that Father Johnson and Alex and I belong to, the Companions of Christ, we make a regular habit of this, of sharing graces, sharing stories from our last week, of where we saw the Lord working, and it renews that grace in us, and it renews it in our community when we share it with one another, that we actually get to rejoice together in those moments. And I love hearing engaged couples tell their story too. We heard in the gospel today this parable of a wedding feast, and I have the great opportunity to form those at our parish who are to be married, and so I'm always meeting with new engaged couples, and I ask them how they met. I ask them when they fell in love, and I even ask why they're getting married. I love their answers. They tell me about their love for one another. They tell me about their desire for a greater commitment to this other person, that they intend to take their relationship to that next level. And they tell me how they want to start a family together. All those are great answers. I haven't had one couple yet tell me that there's a shotgun involved, that they're being forced into marriage. That's a great thing. You know, to make a commitment to another person, there has to be this willingness to expose myself to them, to take this next step, this next level of commitment. Commitment is so, so important in our lives and in our world. Although it'd be easier if I didn't make commitments, on some level, it'd be easier if I just kind of kept my options open. If I didn't pin myself down to another person or to a particular job or a particular town or even a particular parish, in some ways it would be easier if I kept those options open. And some in our world would actually encourage that. They'd say, if you commit, part of your freedom will be lost. You're no longer free to go and date other people. You're no longer free to take another job or move to another city. Your freedom in some way will be taken from you if you commit to this particular person or place or thing. But nothing could be farther from the truth. It's actually when we commit that we have a greater freedom. When a married couple commits to one another, they have a greater freedom to love that person and to not be afraid of being wounded or cheated on. When I commit to another person or a place or a thing, I actually am then free to invest myself there. I've removed all the other options, which is actually a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Because it allows me to be free to be present in this place. I have greater freedom to give myself over to the one I love. Sure, I may not have license anymore to go here or there to be with this person or that person, but I'm more free internally to invest myself. I hear some people say, you know, they're kind of scared to commit to a certain parish even. They know that if I commit here, they're going to have my email address. They're going to have my mailing address, and I know what that means. I'll start getting those envelopes. I'll start getting those emails and those requests for more involvement. But that's a good thing, that when I invest and commit, I'm free then to take those next steps to enter into that deeper level of relationship. This is the story that we hear in most of our readings today. It's a story of commitment. Isaiah talks about this mountain. It's on this mountain that the Lord will feed us with the finest food and the juiciest, choicest wine. It's on this mountain that he wants to do that. Not that mountain. This mountain, a particular mountain. In the Psalm 23, that psalm we love to sing and repeat and recite, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, it's this shepherd that is inviting us to commitment and to love and refreshment. This shepherd wants to feed us and protect us and sustain us. It's not that shepherd, it's this shepherd. And then in the gospel, we hear that parable Jesus tell us of the wedding feast. It's a particular feast. It's this feast. A particular king with a particular son invites, but some aren't ready to make the commitment. Some say no. Some say, I got to tend to my farm or my business. I want to keep my options open. And when they do that, they actually become a slave to the options. They're not free to enter into the feast that the king invites them to. And it's a sad, sad thing that they are not able to enter into that deeper relationship with the king. And then you have this man at the end of the story who does show up, but he's not prepared. It says he doesn't have a wedding garment on. What's that mean? Did he sneak in without a collection envelope that week? did he not bring the things that he was supposed to? Well, the interpretation often given for this is that he hadn't committed specifically in the waters of baptism, that we can see a foreshadowing in this parable of the commitment that the church invites us into, that introductory sacrament that puts us in relationship with the king, that puts us in that family of love with the Father. It's why I wear a white alb and the server and the other priests and seminarians up here, we have this white alb on. It's a symbol of our baptism. It's a symbol that we've put on Christ. Even later this morning, we'll baptize a new child here for our parish, and that child will have a wedding garment on. They'll have a white baptismal garment claiming that child for a particular family. Not just the family they were born into, but the family of God. This is what participation in our community here looks like. It's a limiting of sorts, but a limiting that we would be freer to invest ourselves. It's actually the commitments that we enter into that dispose us to greater communion. Communion with maybe a spouse, communion literally here in the Eucharist. It's only those who have committed through the waters of baptism and participation in this community that are able to participate in the feast, to receive the communion that Christ has prepared for us here in the sacrifice of the Mass. Commitment disposes us to that greater communion. And the Lord calls each of us today to the next step, to the next level. You married couples know it wasn't just a one-time commitment. It's a daily commitment. And when I commit myself over and over, day after day, I'm actually able to enter more deeply and fruitfully into the communion that the Lord invites me to. So today, let's offer our commitment here at the altar. Let's receive the fruit of the sacrifice today, that holy communion that the Lord intends for each of his family members to enjoy.